Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
Homes and mansions or castles are vastly different. Take, for example, Hearst Castle with its marble statuaries mirrored in a reflecting pool. Or Buckingham Palace, the home of British royalty. Warwick Castle, the Forbidden City in Beijing, the residence of Chinese emperors. One of the most beautiful dwelling places in all the world would surely be Peterhof Palace in St. Petersburg, Russia, with fountains spewing forth water and crystalline streams. But then contrast living in one of these with what you call home. Now, would you really trade the warmth of your fireplace or your favorite nook in the family room for life in a cold palace or castle? It's not even tempting to me, to say nothing of thinking about the cost of repairs or taxes should you be given a palace to live in. On one occasion, I talked with a man who bought a house with 15 bedrooms. Every 3 months, he told me, his wife moved them into another bedroom. Think what a challenge to locate your favorite pair of slippers, ones that got kicked under one of the beds. Was it in bed 15, you say, or bedroom number 5, you ask yourself, trying to remember when you last saw them? Now, mansions and homes are vastly different. Home, said the American poet Robert Frost, is the place where, when you have to go there, they have to take you in. About 1820, an American expatriate, John Howard Payne, sitting at the window of his little apartment, watched people rushing home at the end of the day and began thinking of the home he had grown up in. Nostalgia filled his heart. Taking pen and ink, he wrote, "Mid pleasures and palaces though we roam, be it e'er so humble, there's no place like home." On one occasion, Jesus must have been thinking of the home he left behind when he came to planet Earth, because he said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he talked about living life here, dwelling in a tent. It brought to mind a shepherd's tent made of goat and sheep skins. As a tent maker by trade, Paul knew that tents cooked by brilliant sun and sandblasted by the harsh elements could withstand only so much wear and tear. Then they needed repairs. But eventually, no matter how skillful the craftsman who repaired it, the old tent wore out and had to be abandoned. So Paul wrote, "We have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven not built by human hands." One of the strange anomalies about life is that most of the time we never think about the transitory nature of life. Then, unexpectedly, something happens. You lose a dear friend whom you deeply loved, or the doctor shocks you with the news that you have cancer, or you are involved in an automobile accident, and then, like a slap in the face, reality says, you will not live forever in the four walls you call home. I have been challenged with the loss of somebody that I have loved. Every time, it's a sober reminder that life at its longest is short, very short indeed. What do you do when you realize this old tent of mine is getting pretty warm and weathered? Often people say, "I don't know how people face death who don't know the Lord." I do. I have been there beside them and with them. It isn't pleasant. Without the assurance that you have an eternal home, one made not with human hands, it's dark, friend, very dark. More on how to have the assurance of a heavenly home on our next edition of Guidelines.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. Visit givetoguidelines.org and become a partner in sharing hope and encouragement in Christ with others around the world. That's givetoguidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for Guidelines for Living.